Very much in keeping what's on our heart this morning. You know, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, I'm just going to state this principle and then go elsewhere. But Paul said, if any man be in Christ, pretty much what Brother Kenneth was talking about, right? If any man be in Christ, he's a new, what?
Creature.
New creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know, there's a principle that I don't know who labeled it. Sometimes labels come from enemies. but there's a principle that some folks are labeled with, and I believe they're among the Primitive Baptists, maybe in South Georgia or North Florida, somewhere along in there, that they hold to this idea of a hollow log theory. The idea is, what they think about the new birth is that just like a rabbit can run through a hollow log and that log not be changed, they say that a person can be born of the Spirit of God and there's no visible effect. When you compare that with Scripture, that doesn't hold up. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. We're talking about the new birth. We're not talking about chosen in him before the foundation of the world, which we are, but we're talking about when one becomes vitally alive, when God gives the Spirit to us, when we're given spiritual life, and with that comes spiritual faculties, the ability to see the kingdom of God, the ability to hear the gospel of the kingdom, to be able to taste that God is good and gracious. So if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The burden of my heart this morning is to take some scriptures and examine what does that new creature need to look like. If we are indeed a new creature in Christ, what should we look like in this world? This world's not our home. And we shouldn't feel too at home in the world. I think Brother Kenneth touched on that. So, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. There's something that changes. There are some things that change when a person is born of the Spirit of God. God is now, because the Spirit is there, God is working in them. Like Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Don't you think that's a change from the old man? And back up into Philippians chapter 1, where he says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God's doing something that he's not doing in the natural man who's not born of the Spirit of God. Well, is God doing something for nothing? Does he expect nothing to result from what he's doing on the inside? Okay, enough of that. I think you got the idea. I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 to begin. What I want to do, Lord blessing me this morning, is I want to take some familiar passages, and I'm not so sure I'm going to dwell so much on definitions. You know, sometimes we can get bogged down in trying to define everything, and we lose sight of the fact of the action that we should take as we understand what the Scripture's teaching us. So I'm not discouraging anybody from word studies, and you can do that yourself. And if there's something that perhaps is giving us the idea of something that we might not commonly think of, I'll try to point that out. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you know the subject of that chapter, don't you? Charity. Charity. Well, let's do make sure we understand what charity is. You know, if you're not reading the King James, you might be saying love. Well, that's okay. I mean, that's what it means. But what kind of love? There's a lot of things in this world that people call love. And a lot of times that kind of love ends up being lust. All right? What we're talking about is the kind of love that God has for us and he commands us to demonstrate to others. And so it's a love that is in action. God so loved the world that what? Sent a committee? He wrote a book? No, he gave. He gave. And what did he give? Leftovers? Something we'd already heard before? He gave the very best that he had. He gave himself. That's what this kind of love is all about. Giving of yourself. It's a sacrificial love. And so much more. So 1 Corinthians 13, when he speaks about charity, and he tells us how in the first few verses of the chapter, he talks about, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You hear what he's saying? If this love that God has given us is not expressed, if it's not used, if it's not given away because we received it freely, and the way that you have more of the love of God is by giving it away, if there's a disconnect there between what God's done for us and our use of it, we're nothing. We're nothing. Like Matthew chapter 5, in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted?" He said, it's thenceforth good for nothing, but be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Take that personally. If he said, "You're the salt," then if you've lost your savor, then you're good for nothing. Let's just play it on out here into how it's to be manifested. If we've lost our savor, if we've lost our saltiness, I think I referred to something that Elder Joe Nettles said recently. He said, you know, we need to be salty salt and lighty light. That salt needs to have some influence. That salt needs to have some preserving effect. That salt has to be what God has given us. And the light needs to shine forth from us. Now, what do we mean, by the way, before we get into, what do we mean by letting our light shine? You know that, don't you? But just for the sake of the illustration, if you're waiting for me to start glowing, you're going to be waiting until Jesus comes again. Then we'll be glowing. Right? But how we let our light shine is when God has shined the light of understanding into our heart, we have that understanding, and when we put it into practice, when it comes forth from us, that's what he means by letting our light, what we understand, come forth, shine forth. So when others see Christ in us, when others see the teachings of Christ, when others see the discipline of Christ in us, bless your hearts, now you're letting your light shine. All right? So, what does he say here in 1 Corinthians 13? He told us some things that if we don't do, we're nothing. It profits us nothing. All right? But then he goes on to talk about what charity does. And again, I may not linger much on specific thoughts, because there's several passages that I want to get to, and hopefully you're familiar enough with this passage that you can listen at a higher level. All right, what charity does? Charity is this love in action. It's a sacrificial love. It's an unconditional love. Again, it's the kind of love God has for us through his Son. And what we're talking about here is those who are born again, those who are new creatures in Christ, what should they look like? All right? This love, I started here because love is the beginning of it, isn't it? It's where it all starts. We love him because he first loved us. When he's loved, he loved us before the foundation of the world because he chose us in him. For whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate. He's put his love upon us in eternity past. Bless your hearts, there comes a time when we're born of his spirit. And after we're born of his spirit, there's something that should characterize that new creature in Christ. And if we know what we're looking at, we should be able to judge that fruit. We're not going to judge people's hearts. You know, there's times when God doesn't reveal himself to someone until later in their life. We don't know who that might be. You know who? John Newton, the classic example that we usually speak about when we're talking about this principle. It was later in his life before he manifested a love for God. He may have been tender toward God earlier, but he got into a wayward life. And there were many times in his life when someone could look at the fruit that he was bearing and think that couldn't be a child of God. I'm not going to get into that. But there's plenty of times when there's people who are not presently bearing the fruit of God. Who knows? They've gone astray, or they may never have been born of the Spirit. Don't judge their heart. But we are told to judge fruit. All right? What is a child of God? What does a new creature in Christ look like? All right? Well, he says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, charity suffereth long. Suffereth long. Or elsewhere you might find the word long-suffering. Aren't you thankful that God is long-suffering with us? Well, he tells us to be like that. Charity. If we really and truly have the love of God in your heart, bless your hearts, you suffer long. Why? Because you love them. All right? No doubt there's people in our lives, whether in the past or whether presently, or if you haven't experienced this, you may experience it sometime in your life. That's, there may be someone that's close to you that's just not living the way they should. All right? We need to be long-suffering. We need to suffer long with them, loving them, not necessarily loving what they do, all right, but loving them and trying to do the best that we can for them. All right? So, charity suffers long and is kind. See, this new creature is supposed to be kind. All right? Charity envieth not. Isn't envy ugly? Doesn't it pull down? Why should we envy anyone? Charity envieth not. Okay? Vaunteth not itself. Vaunteth not itself. In other words, it's not rash. It's not putting itself first. We're to be humble, aren't we? We're to prefer others above ourselves. The new creature. See, that's not the world. Now, the world's not going to tell you to do that. That's why if you know what you're looking at, you can see when a child of God is being obedient to these principles. Because they're different. Oh, we don't want to be different, preacher. Well, you have to be. If you're going to be a child of God, you don't have to be difficult. But you can be different because you're listening to the Lord. You're following after his word. And sure, there's principles in the world, that in the business world and all that, that, you know, that can have some benefit there. But first and foremost, we are a child of God. And what let God be true and every man a liar. His word is first. All right? All right, he goes on. Is not puffed up. Not puffed up. You know, Paul told the Corinthian church over in 1 Corinthians, what is it, chapter 8? He talks about knowledge puffeth up. We think sometimes we're right, and we can get puffed up in that. We need to remember to be humble as God's children, all right? Not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly. Doth not behave itself unseemly. You know, the main idea there is not being rude. As children of God, we're to be humble. As children of God, we're to be loving and kind. I'm not going to rehash all what we said, but those are the traits of the new creature in Christ that we need to put on. And that's where we're going with this. All right, so the love that he gives us is the beginning of it. And the more we understand about love, the love that God has for us and the kind of love that we're to have to him and also the kind of love that we're to express to one another would help us to be more Christ-like. That's why Peter concluded his second epistle by saying, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's our model. He's the perfect one. He's the one that gave us an example that we should follow his steps. And the more we can think like him, and the more we can live like him, and the more we can follow his steps, the more we'll look like him to the world. That's what we need to be as new creatures in Christ. God forbid that we look just like the world. Why would God go to so much trouble of sending his son to this world? Why would Jesus suffer tremendously on our behalf if it's not to change us? And brethren, it's worth the change. We're new creatures in Christ. Jesus has saved us by his own precious blood. We're to be more like him and less like the world. To grow in grace and in the knowledge is not just to add things to our brain, but it's to shape us, and it's to cause a difference in the way we live. You know, when it comes forth as actions, then that knowledge is perfected. All right. So, does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Like I said, it's easy to get bogged down in definitions here, but just listen to the plain teaching of what this is saying. Seeketh not her own. In other words, we're interested in others. Our life is patterned after doing what we can to be a help to others. Think about the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing he did for himself. He said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And bless your hearts, our will should be to please the one that's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And the more we can be like him, the more we'll feel his love. The more we'll understand his mercy, his kindness, and all of those things. All right, so seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. You know, I'm guilty. I mean, I'll pick on myself. I'm guilty. So sometimes when I'm focused on something and I'm not thinking the way I should, and something happens, this old flesh can just rear its ugly head. Sister Nancy's over there going, But I see a lot of nods. So, yeah, I'm guilty, but I've got company. That makes us feel better, doesn't it? But it's true. When we're remembering the humility that we should display, when we remember the loving attitude that we're to have toward others and the patience and the kindness that we're to express toward others and being that in being long-suffering, it'll help us to keep this old flesh in check. Now, it's there, and it can rear its ugly head quickly and frequently. Just depending on what we're feeding. Are we feeding the inner man? Or are we feeding the flesh? You know, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be fed. you look at a person's actions and you get an idea of what their appetite is. And you know, yes, the appetite is based on the condition of the heart, but a lot of that appetite also is based upon the diet that that person's been consuming. And I'm talking about in principle. I'm not talking about just food. What has that person been feeding on? If they've been feeding on the things of the world, that flesh is going to be strengthened. You know, if you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption, right? But if you sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. In other words, there'll be joy springing forth from your heart from those principles of understanding what God has done for us, the mercy he's had for us, the blessings that we have because of him, that we're not worthy of any of them. And yet he so frequently and so graciously bestows them upon us every day. When we've got the mindset that we should have, when we're remembering the love that God has had for us and the kind of love we're to express to others, this is what the new creature in Christ looks like. With humility and kindness and patience, all right? He says, and again, don't get caught up in, bogged down in the definitions here, but he says, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. He has a desire to know the truth, to hear the truth, to walk in truth, to rejoice in truth. That's what rejoices the Spirit from within us, doesn't it? And the more we rejoice the Spirit within us by feeding it on the Word of God and praying to God and seeking His wisdom and seeking guidance and leadership of the Holy Spirit, the more we go in that direction, the stronger the inner man is. The more the appetite is for the things of the truth and the things of God. But the more we go in that other direction, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but if that person is feeding themselves on the things of this world, on the filth of this world, then the flesh is going to be strengthened. And the word of God is going to be choked out. You know, Paul told us, let's see, 1 Thessalonians 5, I think it's verse 17. He says, quench not the Spirit. But you can. You can do that. Ephesians 4 verse 30. Paul says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. But we can. We can. If we are not listening to the leadership of the Spirit. And if we start following after the things of the flesh. We grieve that Spirit within us. And for a while that we feel conviction over it. But the more we do that, the more hardened we become. The more calloused we become, the easier it gets to ignore those pains that the Spirit is giving us. Brethren, we need to listen to those things. God's given us His Spirit to help us, to lead us, to encourage us, to teach us. So the kind of love that He gives, we need to understand that love because we need to manifest that kind of love. All right? And it's the kind of love that's biblical. It's the kind of love that He's described to us. All right? Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Bearing, believing, and enduring. As a child of God in this sometimes cruel and unfriendly world. Because we serve a risen Savior who loved us enough to pay the sin debt for us that we could not pay, who rose again for our justification, who seated at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for us as we pray unto Him each day. Oh, I tell you, we are blessed. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And part of that not wanting is not wanting another shepherd. I don't want the things of this world. I want to follow my shepherd who knows where the good pastures are, who's able to lead us in that direction and provide for us and who loves us and will defend us. That's what we need. He loves us so much. Let's grow in our understanding of the kind of love that He has for us. All right, this new creature loves differently than those of the world. This new creature also bears different kind of fruit than those of the world. I know there's some overlap here, but just think about this for a moment. You know the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, all right? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith, faith, temperance, and patience. You got, there's nine of them, all right? This new creature bears a different kind of fruit than those of the world. If you back up a little bit in Galatians chapter 5, around 17, 18, 19, he has a long, long list of the works of the flesh. I'm not even going to take time to go over them. But that's what the world does naturally. And bless your hearts, even a new creature in Christ, if he's not careful, if he gets distracted, if he lets the flesh take over, he can bear those things as well. But bless your hearts, the scripture teaches us not to. Scripture teaches us that if we love God, we want to please him. We want to do that which is pleasing in his sight. And we want to have the kind of love that he's had for us. We'll never reach it in magnitude, but we can certainly try, can't we? All right? And we need to bear a different kind of fruit. Just like James, in James chapter 1, verse 21, he talks about receiving with meekness the engrafted word. I love the word picture there. the idea of grafting a branch into a tree, and that branch actually bearing a different kind of fruit than what the tree would have. You know, if you ever bought a pecan tree, you know, the idea is that they've grafted it so that it bears a different kind than a seedling. Okay? And that's common with fruit trees. But the idea here is that that rootstock can produce a tree, but here's a grafted part that's able to bear a different kind of fruit. Do you know that's the kind of the way we are? When we're born of the Spirit of God, we can begin to bear fruit that we could not by our own nature. And the Word of God helps us to bear more of that fruit. All right? So that fruit starts with love, doesn't it? My goodness. Amazing. When we talked about 1 Corinthians 13, all of what Paul was talking about was charity, love in action. And so when we get to talking about what Paul said about bearing fruit to the Galatians, he starts with love. You know, if you don't have the love of God in your heart, you can never bear any of these fruits. That's where it starts. And I'm persuaded that it's where it finishes as well. And the reason I say that is because that's where Peter finishes in 2 Peter chapter 1. When he talks about add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, knowledge, temperance, temperance, godliness, godliness, patience, patience, brotherly kindness. He gets down to charity. In other words, a mature child of God who's adding to his faith that God had given him and was working in him, both to will and to do of his good pleasure, that child of God who's growing in grace and in the knowledge of his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who's trying to do what's pleasing in the sight of the Lord, when it's matured, it's charity. It's love in action. That love manifests itself in various ways. Sometimes the love is manifested as patience. Sometimes love is manifested as long-suffering. Sometimes love is manifested as forgiveness. Sometimes it's joy. Sometimes it's peace. But it's because of the love of God in our hearts. We're bearing a fruit that we could not have borne, naturally speaking. In and of ourselves. God has given us something we didn't have. And we're able to bear. That's what the new creature is all about. Bearing this kind of fruit to the glory of God. Now what Jesus said in John 15. What is it? Verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified. Maybe it's verse 9. Here is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. If we're going to be a disciple. If we're going to be loving children of the Lord, we need to be bearing fruit. And that fruit comes from the love that's in our heart. When Paul gives that list, and he gets down to where it says faith, meekness, and temperance, he says, against such there is no law. I don't want to pass over that lightly. He says those good things, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, all those nine things, he says against such there is no law. In other words, there's no limit. There's no restrictions. We're to bear those things as much as we can for the glory of God, for the blessing of those around us. Aren't you thankful for those folks in your life that are bearing spiritual fruit that are good and encouraging to you? I tell you, this would be a dark world if it weren't for those folks. I'm so thankful for those encouragers, those who are bearing that fruit, those who are so loving and so kind and so gentle and doing those things which are good and profitable for the kingdom of God. So thankful for that. They're bearing fruit to the glory of God. And it ends up being a blessing to us. Well, if you know that it's a blessing to you when they bear that fruit, then we need to be bearing that fruit too, don't we? So that we can be a blessing to others. All right? All right, so. And then, again, in 2 Peter chapter 1, where he goes through that list and kind of ends up at charity. He says, for if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of God. And he goes on to say other, but that's what I'm after. If those things are in us and abound, they make us that we're neither barren nor unfruitful. Oh, we want to be fruitful in the service of God, don't we? And if we want a new creature in Christ, should be. That's just the very trait, the very nature of the new creature. He's got that love in him. It needs to be expressed. And we need to be bearing. And as we express that, we're bearing fruit to the glory of God and to the blessing of those around us. Time's getting away. Not only does he love differently, the new creature, not only should he bear different fruit, but he should be thinking differently than the world. Now, I'm not going to get through with this list today. This may be another parter, but the things that came to mind about this new creature. He should be thinking differently. So oftentimes, we get around folks that are negative and they just drag you down. They can just suck the spirit right out of you. You know, and if you know people that are like that, you want to turn the other way, don't you? I mean, we got enough to deal with our own flesh and this devil bothering us all the time and the influences of this world around about us, that we as God's people who are new creatures in Christ, we've got something better to think about. And the more we think about it, the better the fruit will be, and the more love we'll express. All right? So when Paul talks about to the church at Philippians, he gives a list of things that we should think about. Think about. He said, whatsoever, Philippians 4, verse 8. Whatsoever things are true. Listen to these words. And notice how just the very list of words, I've probably said this before, but just the going through the list of things, listen to how you just have a good feeling within you. Because this truth rejoices the spirit. All right? Whatsoever things, where does he start? Whatsoever things are true, love the truth, don't you? Somebody tells you a lie, and oh, it might sound good, but then when you found out it's a lie, makes you feel terrible, doesn't it? God's not in that. That's the devil. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just and pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. We need to give some time each day to thinking on these kinds of things. And you'll find that by reading the Word of God. You'll find that in praying. When you're praying, when you're sincerely praying in the Spirit will put things upon your heart. The Spirit will lead your mind in a certain direction. You'll be blessed in communing with God through His Spirit. Whether you're depending upon Him to give you understanding while you're reading the Word, or whether you're taking some time and praying to Him for leadership and guidance for that day to restore your soul, whatever the case might be, whatsoever things are true and honest and just, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise. See, we need to be saying things that's a praise to God. We need to be saying things that are virtuous. And part of virtue is courage. Part of that, and that courage is founded in love. If our love is strong for the Lord, if we're rekindling that flame on a regular basis, you know, we can ignore the things. We can get so wrapped up in the things of this world, like we said a moment ago, where the things of this world are choking out the effect of the Word, and our love begins to cool down. Our love for God. Aren't you glad that His love for us never cools down? Now, there's times that our fellowship is put at length because of our actions, but His love for us is not variable. Because it's for Christ's sake. He doesn't change. All right, so... Thinking like we should. The next verse in Philippians chapter 4. Those things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the peace of God shall be with you. That's big, brethren. Do you want the peace of God with you? Do you want to feel His presence like Brother Kenneth was talking about? Do you want to have light for your questions? You want to know which way to go in life? I'm not saying we won't ever have questions. But what I'm saying is the closer we stay to the Lord, the more light we have, the more love we feel, the more joy we have in our hearts, the more peace we'll have. Those things which you've seen, those things which you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. There's where the disconnect so oftentimes happens. We know so many things, but we don't do because we're too busy doing other things. That's where the disconnect happens so many times, is this gap between what we know and what we do, because when we don't do it, we're not letting our light shine. But when we do it, there's a blessing that comes in that you won't get otherwise. Now what Jesus said in John 13 when He's talking about the feet washing, He said, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. There's a joy that'll come in the doing of it that you'll never get otherwise. And that's the gap that so many of God's people come to. They never get over that to experience the joy. We need to pay attention to that. Because if we're not having a lot of spiritual joy, if we're not having a lot of peace, there may be that disconnect. We need to remember that. thinking should be different. And he speaks about these things do, and the peace of God shall be with you. And that's huge. Yes. To be able to go through this life, even though we may be in the midst of the storm, to have the peace of God in our heart. That peace which can pass understanding. We can have it. We're leaning and depending upon Him. We love differently. We should bear different fruit. We should think differently. The new creature should. And the new creature should be clothed with a different kind of demeanor than the world. In Colossians chapter 3, I believe Brother Kenneth went there before he closed. It talks about if you then be risen with Christ. If you're a new creature, seek those things which are above. Later on, as he starts to get into the more practical matters, he talks about putting off the old man and his deeds. Let that sink in for a minute. The new creature needs to be walking differently. The new creature needs to be loving differently. The new creature needs to be bearing fruit that's not from this old nature. All right? Paul touched on this in Ephesians also when he talks about put off the old man, put on the new. Same kind of language, very similar language in Colossians chapter 3, where he talks about putting off and putting on. Clothed differently. Now, I don't mean, you know, we're not talking about articles of clothing, although, you know, even that can render appropriateness. You know, Paul teaching Timothy talked about women needed to be adorned in modest apparel. I like what, I think it was Warren Wiersbe wrote in his commentary. He said, you know, that modesty there, it's not so much how much it costs, but how much it covers. Okay? Principles. We're not talking literal things here. We're talking about principles. All right? And often what's in the heart, like we said, that disconnect. Sometimes what's in the heart doesn't make it to the action. So we need to be conscious. We need to be intentional. We need to put them on. See, it's not something God does for us. He gave us His Spirit. He gave us His Son. He's made us righteous through the blood of His Son. But out of love, we obey. He doesn't make us. We're not robots. Out of love, we obey. And so, He tells us... And also, I think I mentioned this recently, Matthew chapter 12, verse 50, I believe it is. Jesus' mother and brethren were without, they sent word, they were desiring to see Him. And Jesus made this statement, "Who is my mother and my brethren?" Remember that? He knew who his mother and brethren were, right? So he's teaching us. He asked the question to provoke thought in the minds of those around, and it should provoke thought in our minds as well. Jesus asked the question, "Who is my mother and my brethren?" And he answered it. "My mother and my brethren are they which hear the word of God and do it." I may be quoting another writer of that. He says in Matthew, he says, "Hear the word of God, know the will of my Father and do it." Something like that. But the principle's there. hearing, not only hearing, but doing. Making that connection, following through with the doing. That's how we obey the scriptures. Sometimes people get in their mind that if they understand it, they're good. No, it's when we do it. In many ways, and you can do it, that'd be a good Bible study sometime. Go through and see how often Jesus made that point and how often the Apostle Paul made that point. That it's not just the knowing. The knowing is good. The knowing is necessary. But the doing of it is when the light comes forth, when the benefit, when the fruit is born, when the benefit to others is shown, and when the glory to God is manifested. And he's worthy of all the glory we can give him, isn't he? All right, so so Paul says to the Colossian brethren, chapter 3, beginning in verse 12, put on therefore bowels of mercies. What in the world is that? Bowels of mercies. You ever seen somebody, their situation, and you had pity on them? You felt sorry for them? But more than just feeling sorry for them, you did something for them. You know, when you have that compassion, and when you have that desire to show mercy, which we love the fact that God has had mercy upon us. And that's one of the lessons that Jesus said, go do now and learn what that meaneth. All right? I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy. We are to have mercy on others because God's had mercy on us. When you have that compassion, when you have that mercy, and when you do something about it, you can feel it deep down. It's a feeling that comes from within. Bowels of mercies. All right? What he's telling us to put this on. In other words, just as if it's a part of your morning routine, when you get up and get dressed and get ready for your day, and you put on your clothes, you put on, your sisters put on your makeup, and maybe your brothers do too. I don't know. those things you're putting on, all right? They don't just jump on by themselves. You have to be intentional. You have to have a purpose in mind to do those things in order for it to get done. We have to be intentional about doing what the Lord tells us. We have to remember it. We have to understand it. We have to be intentional in putting it into practice, putting it on. Because that's the only way others can see it. When you begin to express these things, that's the only way other people can see it. If you haven't done those things, if you haven't in any way done that, then it's not going to be seen. You haven't put it on. All right? Put on therefore bowels of kind mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind. Listen to what the new creature's like. Without bogging down in the definitions, just listen. Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Oh, there's some doing again, isn't there? There's some doing again in putting on these things and manifesting it. He goes on to say, and above all, put on charity. That's where Peter ended in 2 Peter chapter 1. Charity. Adding to your faith. Growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ brings us to a more mature ability to express this charity, this unconditional love, this love that God has given to us that we're so supposed to show to others. So he said, above all, put on charity, the bond of purpose, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The peace of God Let it rule. I like the word picture where it's like an umpire. When a foul is committed, whistles blown, flags thrown. Wait! You've committed an offense. Do you know the Spirit of God kind of doesn't blow a whistle, throw a flag, but the Spirit of God brings our attention to the fact when we've done something wrong. There's conviction. We need to listen to that. And we need to do something about that. Because that's what God's given us to help us to grow. Help us to be more like Christ. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. All right, so if we're listening, if we're walking in the peace of God and we're listening to the leadership of the Spirit and something happens, whether we get distracted or a temptation comes up and we go too far with it, that Spirit lets us know about it. Well, are we going to ignore it and continue to go, or are we going to stop and do what we need to do? It'll have a great impact on how much peace you continue to have. Let the peace of God rule. It's more important to have peace with God than to satisfy the flesh. So let the peace of God rule. Give it priority. And be thankful. Oh, it's so important to be thankful, isn't it? Running out of time. In verse 16 of Colossians 3, Paul says this: let the word dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let the word dwell in you richly. How's that going to happen? How's that going to happen? Letting the word dwell in you richly. How is that going to happen? Nobody's going to chase you down with a Bible. That Bible that might be collecting dust needs to be brushed off, opened up, and read. Now, it may not be a physical Bible. It may be on your phone. It may be on your tablet. You may be able to tune in somewhere and listen to it. That's fine. I don't care. As long as we're getting the Word of God in our mind and in our heart so that it dwells in us richly. That's the point, isn't it? Times change. Can you imagine what the Apostle Paul might have thought about if he talked about the fact that you had a phone that you can just have the whole Bible right there at your fingertips anytime that you could just tell it what you wanted? I just, you know, sometimes I think about crazy things. I wonder how much time Paul spent scrolling through scrolls looking for a scripture. Whatever we have to do, let the Word of God dwell in you richly. All right? In all wisdom. All right, listen. You got several more things that this passage tells us that the new creature in Christ should be attentive to. All right? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Then he goes on to say, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Brother Kenneth just drew some good principles out of one of these spiritual songs. Teaching one another. I personally like to have a song in mind throughout the day. The point is, this helps us to think like we should. It's so good. It reminds us of things. Maybe a song gets on our mind and we begin to sing it, and oh, I'm reminded of a principle that I hadn't thought about lately. Or maybe the author of that song put it in such a way that it reminds us of some things that we've let slip. There's just so much that we could be teaching one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Why did it say psalms? Because that's all they had for the longest. You know, singing has evolved in the church. You know, the brethren from centuries ago wouldn't accept our songbook at all. They started out singing scripture, singing psalms. Even Amazing Grace would have been frowned upon at one point. My point is this. It says teaching one another, admonishing one another. All right? Teaching one another, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, not just singing, but singing with grace in your heart. And not just singing with grace in your heart. Singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Praising Him. Giving Him glory. Being thankful for His blessings. It's good for you. It's good for you. It'll strengthen the inner man. It'll bless you to have a better witness before others. It'll bring glory to God. So much benefit there that the new creature should be engaged in. And then verse 17 of Colossians chapter 3. And whatsoever ye do. Here's one of those catch-alls. Maybe your habit is, or maybe your desires to are good and wholesome, and maybe it's in a little different direction from something that I've described here. But Paul ends up by saying, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed. In other words, let's make sure, whatever we do, in word or deed, that we do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father by Him. Which brings us back to the idea that if we have that desire to do that, it's because God's working in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So let's not only have the understanding, but let's also do it. He works in us both to will and to. He doesn't do it for us, but He gives us the want to, right? So that the new creature in Christ can walk with God, can learn more about Christ, can grow in love, can manifest, bear fruits, and can put on these things that shows the world who you love and who you're serving as new creatures in Christ. You know, I'm not quite there yet. I'm still working on it. But I've got all the instructions I need. It's right here. You may not remember half of what I said today. And I know that's true. That's the way it goes. But bless your hearts, we've got the Word of God. And if we're a new creature in Christ, we've got the Spirit of God. And if there's one thing for sure, if we have a desire to walk with Him, if we have a desire to know more about Him, if we have the desire to do what's pleasing in His sight, He will bless it. Because that honors Him and that brings glory to His name. May God bless you as a new creature in Christ could grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless you.